Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Genesis, and it's chapter 40. Let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless this chapter and bless our day. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for being a God that we can call upon and you hear us. You hear everything that we're saying, and you know every thought that we're thinking, and you know everything that is being planned against us and for us. Lord, we ask that you make everything happen for us today. And Lord, that you, anyone that's devising anything against us, that you stop them dead in their tracks. Lord God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that you'll anoint this chapter, everything that's done here, so that it gives everyone the power to stand another day in the Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Chapter 40, King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers.
Okay, the chief of the butler is the guy that does the tasting of everything that Pharaoh eats and drinks. In case it's poison, he drops dead, and not Pharaoh. All the butlers are the cupbearers. The bearers of the cups are the ones that taste the cup first before the Pharaoh drinks it and taste a little taste of the food. They do that for the president of the United States here. What they do is, if they're at a big banquet, they keep passing the plates around instead of tasting it. And then they say, stop. The president says, okay, stop. And then he eats the plate that's in front of him. As they're passing around, it's like passing the hat.
Really?
Yeah, that's the way it is. I've been to those conventions before. Not where Bush was there, but I was there. The guy, presidential candidate, came into town in Billings, Montana when I was there. And I was... one of the culinary workers there at the time, and that's what happened. And I saw them doing it also recently with Bush on television. And so that's what the butler was also called, the bearer of the cup, the Pharaoh's cup. And he was the taster of the food and drink, so that in case it was poison, the president or the pharaoh or the king would see him drop dead instead of himself. Okay? And that's exactly, he's like one of the president's or the pharaoh's gophers. He just goes for anything. All right, then let's continue on. So read that statement again.
And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers.
Okay, keep going.
And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison.
Okay, the house of the captain of the guard was Potiphar. He was the captain of the guard. And that's the house that Joseph was working in. Amen?
Amen.
He was in charge of the prison, too. Potiphar was. And that's where Joseph was. And so it stands to reason that the penalty for trying to rape Potiphar's wife or any of the dignitaries of Egypt was death. And so it's plain to see that Potiphar did not believe, at least entirely, his wife's story about him trying to rape her, because he was such a godly person. But he put him in prison just in case, and figured that God would surely deliver him one day if he were innocent. And if not, God would kill him anyway. All right? We have to look into these stories and meditate on them and, you know, think of what the deal is, you know, in order for us to be able to figure out what was going on here. Amen?
Amen.
Because that life then was like it is today. Jealousy is the rage of a man, but yet you don't want to put to death an innocent man. Amen?
Amen.
So he lived, so that means that he didn't really for sure believe his wife's quote story. That's all it was a story. All right, then what?
And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound.
Okay. Keep going.
And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward.
So, in other words, Joseph was put in charge of all the prisoners there, because the head of the prison guard there saw that Joseph was capable of handling it, so he had an easy job of it. He let him have it. And these two characters, the cupbearer, the one that tasted the food and made sure that the king would live, or the Pharaoh, and the baker were put in Joseph's charge. He was over them. And that's how he was able to talk to them. He'd see if they were sad or blue or troubled or something like that. And he'd say, "What's wrong with you?" And then they said, "Well, we had these dreams," and that's what happened. Okay, so let's go.
Commentary, verse 1 through 4. Joseph interprets two dreams. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended. Pharaoh became very angry with these officials, and he put them in the prison where Joseph was, in the palace of Potiphar, the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and Potiphar assigned Joseph to take care of them.
So if Potiphar says, "Joseph, you take care of him," that means that he knew that his wife was telling the story. He knew she was a whore. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Right.
He knew what she was. You can't be married to a person and not know what they are. Amen?
Amen.
You know what they are. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 5. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?"
Okay, see, right there, you know, we'll go to that right there shows that officer is the person that has charge. So this one officer had charge of the bake shop. That's an officer. And the other one officiated as the butler or the bearer of the cup bearer, which means the guy that tastes food. And that's officers. You're an official. No matter what position you have in the world, I mean, if you're a dog catcher, you're an officer of the law. You're, you know, in charge of the dogs. And in the house of God, if you're in charge of something, you're an officer. And that's your post. And you must take care of that post, or else you're going to be judged as negligent and wind up in hell for it. And you can't do things over and above anything that the Pharaoh or the leader or the head of you would have you do. Like, you can't go driving around joyriding if you've got gas in that car to come back and forth to work. You can't go up on the ridge and do things up there or go traveling someplace because you think that you have the right to do it. No, there's Potiphar is in charge of Joseph. Amen?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, he bought Joseph. That's his. He owns Joseph. That's his slave. And Pharaoh is the head of Potiphar. Amen?
Amen.
And Potiphar can't do anything that is outside the perimeters or the boundary lines as to what Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, has allowed him to do. He has to keep within his boundaries. And in the Lord, it's the same thing. The secular people set up boundary lines for their officials, and God has boundary lines set up for his officials. And so you have to be careful what you're doing. You have to stay within your bounds, your boundary lines. Otherwise, people will think that you're not really an official of the Lord or an official of Potiphar, or that Potiphar is really an official of Pharaoh. You put yourself down in the office of the person that is the ruler of you. You put them down by just doing and saying anything that you please. And you lower the standard of Pharaoh's house or the house of Potiphar. And surely you must be aware that you're lowering the standard of God's house if you're doing anything other than he permits within his word. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to be careful. These are officials. Now, if you're the baker, you don't go into the Potiphar's area and start trying to run his place, or start trying to run. And if you're Potiphar, you don't try to run anything other than he gave you the permission to run. All right? Because Pharaoh will have your head off your shoulders. Just as he had the baker's head cut off of his shoulders and had him impaled on a stick, so there where that the birds came a pecking on him at his flesh and took it away. I don't know where people get the idea that just because the head of Standard Oil or Shell Oil hires you, that you've got the right to go into his house or take his car or go plundering someplace that you don't have any business doing it. And it's the same thing with the pastor of a church, that you feel that you're his equal, or the Pharaoh's equal, or Potiphar's equal. You're under them, amen? The Lord says, obey those that have the rule over you. You're not parallel with them, you're under them. They have the rule over you, and you have to get that into your head, humble yourself, right from the get-go, all right? I don't care. It's amazing how people know that in the secular world, but they don't pay any, very little attention to it in the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is far more important than the secular. Amen?
Amen.
The secular world is already condemned. Amen?
Amen.
But the spiritual realm is forever. And you have to get used to rulership and to obey and to not be unruly, but be a person that can be ruled. Because you're unlawful, illegal, if you do otherwise. All right, go ahead.
Commentary, verse 5 through 7. One night the cupbearer and the baker each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. The next morning, Joseph noticed the dejected look on their faces. Quote, "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked.
Keep going.
And they replied, quote, "We both had dreams last night, but there is no one here to tell us what they mean." Quote, "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. Quote, "Tell me what you saw."
So, and he was in charge, so he's telling them what to do. The jailer put him in charge of the whole jail and all the prisoners, and so he could tell them, "Tell me what you saw." And they had to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? And they knew he was a special person, that he had some divine power, because divine power was given a lot of rope back then in those days, in the ancient days. And the people that were the rulers of the different countries were always seeking people that had divine powers to help rule for them and to advise them. And so these people knew that, these prisoners that had offended Pharaoh. And so they, when Joseph said, "Tell me what you saw in your dreams, this is the business of God," and they knew he knew God, and so they're going to pipe up and tell him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. King James Version? Verse 8 and 9. And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches."
Which was significant of 3 days. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes.
Which means this is something that is growing, and it's abundant, and it's bringing forth life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand.
So he was going to continue to be a blessing to Pharaoh. He was going to live. All right, then what? Okay.
And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler.
Right. From now on you're going to be restored back to your present position as an official, an officer in the house. And you're still going to get to taste Pharaoh's wine before he does. I mean, you pour out of the bottle and take a sip and then pour into his glass after you live, and he'll get to drink his own out of his own chalice. And then when the food comes, you'll take out of the same bowl and put it on your plate, and then you'll eat some of it. And then Pharaoh, if you still live about 10 seconds afterwards, or you don't get sick and turn purple, well, then Pharaoh will put some on his plate and start eating too. All right? Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yes.
All right. So you're going to be restored back to them, and you, because it shows him handing the cup to Pharaoh again. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Commentary verse 9 through 13. The cupbearer told his dream first. Quote, in my dream, he said, I saw a vine in front of me. It had 3 branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon there were clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed the juice into it. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Quote, I know what the dream means, Joseph said. The 3 branches means 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will take you out of prison and return you to your position as his chief cupbearer. King James Version, verse 14. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house.
Okay, commentary.
Commentary, verse 14. And please have some pity on me when you are back in his favor. Mention me to Pharaoh, and ask him to let me out of here.
Right, because I was taken a prisoner. I actually was kidnapped. And I'm in prison for something I didn't do, is what he continues to say. Okay, go ahead, Sam. Yeah.
Okay. King James Version, verse 15. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews.
Stolen away means kidnapped. Amen?
Amen.
Because in Joseph's mind, that's what happened to him. He was kidnapped. He didn't bring any blame on his brothers or anything. Go ahead, then what?
And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon.
Okay, then, commentary.
Commentary, verse 15. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in jail, but I did nothing to deserve it.
So he said it was a man-stealer. Man-stealers means kidnappers. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head.
Keep going.
And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head.
See, that's Pharaoh's not going to get anything from him anymore, because the fowls of the air, which represent the devil, is taking his position away. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary?
No.
Okay. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee.
Okay.
Commentary, verse 16 through 19. When the chief baker saw that the first dream had such a good meaning, he told his dream to Joseph, too. quote, "In my dream," he said, "there were three baskets of pastries on my head. In the top basket were all kinds of bakery goods for Pharaoh, but the birds came and ate them." Quote, "I'll tell you what it means," Joseph told him. "The three baskets means 3 days. 3 days from now, Pharaoh will cut off your head and impale your body on a pole. Then birds will come and peck away at your flesh." King James Version, verse 20. "And it came to pass..."
See, hanging somebody could be hang him on a pole, right?
Yes.
It didn't say by your neck. There's all kinds of ways that they can hang you. By your ears, if you have any. Well, your head's gone, that's over with. You can hang people on a pole. Your body. Amen?
Amen.
They hung Mussolini by his feet. Right? That's what they did. Some of you people are not around in World War II, but they hung him up by his feet. And people would come by with sticks and beat on him with it while he was dead. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 20. "And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants." Commentary, verse 20. "Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he gave a banquet for all his officials and household staff. He sent for his chief cupbearer and his chief baker, and they were brought to him from the prison." King James Version, verse 21. "And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him." Commentary, verse 21 through 23. "He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position, but he sentenced the chief baker to be impaled on a pole, just as Joseph had predicted. Pharaoh's cupbearer, however, promptly forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought." That's the end of the chapter.
All right, so that was the last verse in chapter 39. Now we'll go into commentary.
40, verse 1. Quote, "Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended," unquote. The butler was the cupbearer, the man who first tasted everything Pharaoh ate or drank. He did so in the king's presence to learn if it was poisoned. Such a person must be trustworthy, and thereby became quasi-counselor to royalty, as was Nehemiah, cupbearer to King Artaxerxes more than a thousand years later. The baker must also be trustworthy. 40, verse 6 through 8. Quote, "The next morning Joseph noticed the dejected look on their faces. Quote, why do you look so worried today?" he asked. And they replied, quote, "We both had dreams last night, but there is no one here to tell us what they mean." Quote, "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Tell me what you saw," unquote. In addition to being a man of integrity, Joseph was sensitive to others. God was obviously at the forefront of his thinking.
He was always thinking of the Lord. That's how he was able to make it. Through all the different persecutions, he knew that there wasn't anything that he had done wrong, but he remembered the dreams that he had when he was young, that he would be in charge one day. People would bow down before him very low. And we should remember the vision that we have from the Word of God, that we're going to be very high one of these days in the kingdom of heaven. And so it really doesn't make any difference what we're going through, what tests that we're going through, because God put him through a test. Jesus was in fetters and was laid in irons, and it states in the 115th chapter of the book of the Psalms that Joseph was in fetters and laid in irons, but then the Lord raised him up high. So, and it says in that book, in that scripture, that verse, that God was testing him. And God is testing you. And just make sure you pass the test, because God will raise you high when you pass all your tests. Remember, every day you're going that you live, you're going through a test, a testing period. And Jesus is our example. Joseph is our example. They passed the test. Amen?
Amen.
And if you pass the test, great, great, great is your reward. And it's for sure there is a great reward. All right, then what?
40 verse 15. Quote, For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in jail, but I did nothing to deserve it. Unquote. Joseph's view of his being sold was that he was stolen away, kidnapped, in jail, prison, unjustly. 40 verse 23.
Right, they were just jealous of him, that's all. He was guilty of being superior, and people were jealous. That's what he was guilty of. And Joseph couldn't help the dreams that he had from the Lord. It couldn't happen that God chose him, highly chose him. Amen?
Amen.
But people are just jealous. They want to be on his same level. And if you're on the same level, then pass the test every day. All right? Pass every test. Because Joseph was on that level because God knew that he's going to pass every test. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're so hot, then pass the test. Don't be jealous. Everybody wants to be high up in the Lord, but nobody wants to pay the price like a Joseph did, or more than that, the Lord. Okay? And if you're a container that has God in you, then God in you is sufficiently able, more than able, to cause you to pass the test every day. So just, you're being tested every day, so pass the test, hot shot. Pass the test. All right? Don't brag about how great you are. Joseph didn't. Just pass the test. Amen?
Amen.
Let him lay you in irons. Let him put fetters and chains on you. Let him whip you. Be a whipping boy or a whipping girl. Okay? And don't complain. Just go through the test, sweetheart. Okay? All right, then what?
40 verse 23. Quote, Pharaoh's cupbearer, however, promptly forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Unquote.
Yeah, but one thing about it is, people will forget about you. But God didn't forget about Joseph, did he?
No.
Huh?
No.
And he didn't forget about Jesus laying in a grave. Amen?
Amen.
Just as he said, he come and got him 3 days later. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? And he'll come and get you too. Somebody be calling your name. And you got to be ready for it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, rise up, Sharon. Rise up and fly. Amen?
Amen.
Rise up, Jeannie. Fly. Okay? Well, I don't think I'll fly. Rise up, Sion, Tabor, and all the rest of you. Fly away. Are you going to fly away? Amen?
Amen.
There's that song, you know, I'll fly away. Amen?
Amen.
Old Glory. Yes, I'll fly away. Then pass the test. That's the only way you're going to fly. Amen?
Amen.
You can't fly any other way. All right, then what?
But forgot him stands in utter contrast to God who remembered Joseph.
Yeah. Remember me when the firelight is burning. Amen? You don't have to remind God to remember you. He'll remember you. He never forgets. The faithful ones. Amen?
Amen.
Just the ones that pass the test. They're always before his eyes. And he has angels encamped around and about you. Maybe somebody else doesn't like the way you comb your hair, or they're jealous of you for one reason or another. Don't even worry about it. Joseph didn't. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus didn't either. He knew that they were not going to like him when he fashioned a whip and went into the temple and started whipping people out of the place because they were using the house of God as a place of merchandise, but it's supposed to be the house of prayer, amen?
Yeah.
Well, everybody hated him because they wanted to make money there. It's a nice building. It was just a real nice place where you get a lot of people in there and have an auction or so. Yeah, but they didn't pass the test, did they? But they didn't like it that Jesus didn't like it. That's tough. Because God is the one that's going to be doing the judging, and he's the one that's going to be sending people into the fiery prison, or he's going to let you enter into the kingdom of heaven. Pass the test, amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Genesis 41, 37 through 45. Quote, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou."
And what made God think, what made Pharaoh think that Joseph was so wise? Because he was wise enough to know that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And he derived it from a dream that he had. Amen?
Amen.
That's wise. Because everybody gets to eat. Amen?
Amen.
For 14 years. While the rest of the country is, the world is starving to death. That's wise. At least in Pharaoh's eyes, that was wise. Amen?
Amen.
Pharaoh thought he was really wise. Amen?
Amen.
If your refrigerator and cupboard and your pantry is totally void of food, and then somebody comes and shows you how to fill it up and keep it full for 14 years, I figure that guy's pretty wise. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So we'll say that that's probably why Pharaoh thought he was wise, and he saw that everything that he did was wise, and he interpreted dreams. I mean, that was wise, amen?
Amen.
That's divinely wise. Amen. All right, then what?
"And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt."
So wise that he made him all the head of all of Egypt except for himself, that's all. Only he was just a notch higher. But not really. Okay, what else?
"And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt."
Yeah, he said that everybody be bowing the knee to him, didn't he?
Yes.
Those 11 bundles of grain, and then the mom and the dad too, even all of Egypt bowed the knee to him. Amen?
Amen.
Bowed low. And everybody was saying, Hail Joseph. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He was the one that saved the country. Okay, then what?
"And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Ashenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt."
That's real something. And that's because he was godly. And people can see that you're godly. You're nothing but a piece of chaff. Just a piece of garbage if somebody can't see that you're of the, no one can see you're of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You have to let the Lord live out his life in you for you to be able to succeed anywhere. And you never know if you do everything the Lord says what God will have happen to you. Look what he did with Joseph. From a pit. For animals to come and kill and to be sold into slavery, and now he's the head of Egypt. the strongest nation of the world, in the world at that time. All right, let's go. That's it. Well, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 40, and Lord willing, we'll be doing chapter 41 this evening. Praise the Lord. Keep looking up. Meditate on the Lord. Meditate on all these things so that you can stand another day in the Lord. That's all you're required to do. So you get ready for chapter 41 tomorrow, which will help you stand another day. Amen?
Amen.
Till then, God bless you. Praise the Lord.